You know, a mother, a real mother, gives her life to reproduce in the earth. Did you know that? A real mother gives her life to reproduce. In the Old Testament, it was a praise to a mother to have many children. And that mother gives her life and gives her body freely and without reservation of heart that she may reproduce in the earth and multiply and replenish the earth that God may have the glory of the multiplication of His kingdom. Unselfishly, she gives her life. Did you know that? A good dad gives his life in providing for those children. Unselfishly, he takes care of those children. Whether he's sick, whether he's well, whether he feels good or whatever, he gets up and goes about his daily task. You know, in the day we're living in, it's a little bit different. The woman marries the man and she says, a boy and a girl, that's all. That's all. That's just the way it is in the church today. When Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and daughters. No concern for travail, no sons and daughters. You understand what I'm saying? So then, let's put our talent to the exchangers. Let's be a good mother. Let's travail as Zion. Let's reproduce that we might multiply in the kingdom of God and do great things for the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you willing to do that? I want to read just a little bit to you. And I want to talk with you just a little bit. I try not to hold you long. If you listen real patiently, I want to say again that I appreciate every one of you that's come out this morning. On a Sunday morning, I appreciate everyone that comes out especially, because it's a little hard on Sunday morning for some people who have been up late, worked hard all the week. It's a little hard for them to be able to come out on Sunday morning and take part in the services. So I especially appreciate the ones that come, and I believe there's a special blessing for people who come on Sunday morning. You know, it's Jesus' practice or Jesus' way or custom of life to be in the house of God every Sabbath. How do you know that's right? And that should be our manner of life. A man down here in Beaumont, Texas, just recently was telling me how that they tried to break that habit, you know, of churchism, of being in church on Sunday morning. I'll tell you what, that's bad. I don't want to break that habit. That is a good habit, and I don't want to break that habit. That's a custom of the Lord God Almighty to be in the house of God every Sabbath. So I don't want to break any customs like that. He was trying to convince me how that they were trying, he was charismatic, trying to convince me how that they were trying to get away from all of the churchism and all of the customs of mankind, trying to break them and get away from them. But you know, you can get foolish in things. Did you know that? You can get beside yourself, because there's a lot of things that God has ordained, whereas to render the custom to whom custom is due, and you can get beside yourself in doing things and be the enemy of God and just get downright foolish and find out that you're catering to Satan and to the flesh and injuring the kingdom of God and is staying away from the house of the Lord. So let's don't use the scriptures for our own convenience. Let's use them for the convenience of Christ and His kingdom, and the Lord will provide for us. I was telling somebody, I believe it was yesterday, I said, any time there's a scripture quoted for the convenience of the flesh, then that is Satan taking advantage of the Word of God. For instance, if I get up and I tell my wife, you know, and I say, you're supposed to obey me, you're supposed to honor me. You understand what I'm saying? Unless I at heart have one thing in mind, and that is that I am trying to bring her to Christ and to God's way, that we can have peace in the family and get along and do something for God. Unless I do that, it is the devil speaking to her, using the Word of God for the convenience of the flesh to harness her and get control of her. And vice versa, if she uses any scripture toward me, you know, concerning the husband, it's the same way. If the pastor uses any of it over the flock, it is Nicolaitan teachings. Anytime I take that attitude over the flock or any minister to be able to possess the congregation, to be able to get the income or to get fame and popularity or somebody to support me in my worldly ambitions and frivolous desires, it is a Nicolaitan spirit, and it is something that possesses the congregation and lords over them and gets control of them for an intellectual or a fleshly mean or ambition. And God despises that kind of thing. Did you know that? So never use the word of God for an advantage. If you're on a businessman, don't ever go into a man's office and use the word of God for an advantage to get somebody to cater to you. If you do, God will tear you up for that. Don't ever be religious for your business purposes or whatever. Be a Christian because you are a Christian and because you are a light for the kingdom of God. Even in our most severe experiences out on the road, so many multiplied times, I never even mentioned to them my religious state of affair or condition toward Christ, because I feel that I would be using that for my own personal gain. And I just go by faith and trust God that He will make my light to shine, that men might see it and that people might work with me in the kingdom of God, that it won't be a selfish thing on my part. So be careful how you use the word of God, because Satan uses it every day. When a person gets hurt, a person gets disturbed, as we have here at this church, it happens many times here and abroad. When a person gets hurt and goes away, the first thing they'll start doing is using the word of God to justify their feelings. That's the devil. Did you know that? Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Not the defense of my hurt or the defense of my ambitions or what I think. I am set for the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the only ambition I have through life. And that's the way you should be. If you're cuddling your old man, or if you're justifying your old man, or finding fault with others because of your personal feelings or your personal hurt, then the devil has control of you. All right, so then it is so wonderful to be a Christian. To be a real, genuine Christian, to have no purpose of mine except just to love the brotherhood, to be a Christian, and to walk hand in hand and win souls through world evangelism for Jesus Christ. How do you agree to that? That's true. I know that I have Christians here in this church. I know that I've got Christians. Oh, if you don't mind me taking a few minutes just to exalt you and talk with you, since I've been gone a long time, I'd like to say something to you. Brother Howard Walden from down in what part of the Moultrie? Brother Howard Walden just sent word, said that he really loved our people, and was telling Brother Franklin Walden, said that they're some of the finest people that I have ever seen. Said Brother Pice got some of the best people that I have ever seen, Brother Franklin. And said they came here to this hotel and said every one of them tried to do what was right from the way that he expressed it. And tried to, you know, conduct themselves right from what I could gather from the statement. And he was praising the people. Said it was one of the best meetings that he'd ever been in. And he was praising the people because of their way of life. In Israel, they praised the people of Little Bethlehem. In different places around the different parts of the nation and the world, they praise the people of Little Bethlehem. They've met them. Some places they've met numbers of them, and they praise them. And they think they're the grandest people in the world. And I do too. And God does too. How do you know that? God thinks Christians are the grandest people in the world. As a matter of fact, they are the grandest people in the world. So then, we have some of the grandest people in the world. And even though we have some that are still children, that are still growing and trying to get their bearings and being grounded, yet we still have those that are wonderful people, though they stumble and though they err. So seeing all the wonderfulness of the people of God, I don't have too much time to worry about hypocrites and false brethren, because I'd rather keep my mind on the glories and blessings of God and the brotherhood whom I love with all of my heart and soul. All right, let's read just a little bit. If you've got your Bibles, let's read over in the book of Psalms. The 9th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse, let's read together. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destruction are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities, their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hath not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my troubles, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared on the work of his own hand. Higegon, Salah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Now, if you notice here, there's two outstanding things in this reading. One of them is that God shall judge the nation in righteousness. He expresses a little farther down that all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Now, I like that because it makes me think like this. If nations are to be turned into hell because they forget God, then that means, the way that I understand, that means that they have at one time or another heard about God, or they must hear about God. So that makes me feel good, because I don't like to think of anybody, you know, going to hell that would not hear about God. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, what about all these people that don't know about God, or all of these people that turn away from God? What's God going to do with them? I believe in my heart that every man is required to repent. Do you believe that? Every person is required to repent. It doesn't matter who it is, I believe that God requires repentance out of every individual. And not only repenting, but the Bible said, therefore leaving the foundation of repentance, let us go on with God and let us go on to perfection. Not just repenting, that's not enough. The world repents, that's not enough. Esau repented, that's not enough. But see, the Bible said, he that confesseth his sins and then forsakes his sins, that the blessings of God will be upon him, and that that man will prosper in everything that he puts his hand to. Whatever he does, he will prosper. They that believe my prophets shall prosper. And if you believe the ministry, you believe the word of God, you'll prosper. Because the word of God is the body of the Lord Jesus, and it's sent for the edification of the church. And so then we prosper when we believe the word of God. Now every man must repent. Every man must repent. You can't just come into the church and just be a good person and say, well, my dad was a preacher or my mother was a saint. You can't do that. That's not sufficient. You can't join the church and just be a part of some religious activity or just because your mother was and go to heaven. You can't do that. You've got to repent of your sins, whether it be the banker, whether it be the president, whether it be the lawyer, whether it be the doctor, whatever it might be, you've got to repent of your sins. All of the great men of the earth have to repent of their sins. We're told here in the scripture that one day God will move in a great destructive way and men will completely be taken off the face of the earth. That is, those that oppose Christ, for the simple reason that God is going to let the surrounding ones that are left understand that they are but mortal man and that he is God. So then, we've got to repent of our sins. That's the first thing. We've got to repent of them. And we've got to turn away from the things of this world. Turn away from sin. confess our sin, and then forsake our sin. Don't go back to our sin. Swear to our own hurt, and then go the way of God. Now, I know that there's a great charismatic move in the earth today. I'm among a lot of them. And I hear their testimonies, and in Beaumont, we was in some of them's home there. And I understand that a lot of those people love God. They've got God at heart. Some of them are very sincere with God, and they love God, but they've got caught in a web. They've got caught in a web, and they've been convinced that they do not have to do anything as pertaining to the redemption of the body or the perfecting of the body in the sight of God. That God has received them strictly without any merit of life, just on the basis of the spilt blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are right as far as God receiving them without meriting anything in their own life. That much of it is right. I'm a Christian not because I have done anything. I am a Christian because God has done everything. I am a Christian because Jesus spilt his blood at Calvary, and without any ambition or desire on my part, he made me what I am by his foreknowledge. So then I am the predestinated work of God from the foundation of the world by the foreknowledge of God unto the perfect stature of the Son of God. I am his finished work. I am complete in him in every way. I don't have to do anything. I am complete in him when it comes to my eternal security, my eternal preservation, and my way of life for God. I am secure. I don't have to do one thing. I don't have to fast one meal. I don't have to pray one prayer. I don't have to do one thing. I am secure in him because I believed in the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is exactly the truth. And the people that are caught in the charismatic moves, as well as many denominational powers of the world and societies, those people that believe that, it is true. But that is not where it stops. As I said today, we have a seed of want to, a Christian seed of desire. God has planted within our heart a Christian seed of desire, or desire or want to, a godly want to, from our new birth. And from that time, we are ready to grow into the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. From the very time that God places within my heart the seed of Christian desire or godly want to, from that time, I have a burning ambition, I have a longing, I have a desire to be like Jesus. I have a stream bubbling up from within that makes me want to be like my Savior, and there is nothing of importance in life anymore except to please him and to be like him. So then, that gives me the ambition and desire in life that I want for Christ. But see, let us go on, Paul said. Let us go on unto perfection. It is true that God has saved us by his finished works. It is true that God has put the desire in our heart to be like Jesus. That is true. It is just like planting an apple tree or anything else. It is true. There is a seed that's been put in the ground. It's been placed in the ground. The little child that's going to eat the apples off of it doesn't have to do anything. Somebody did it for him. It's already planted. It's already there. All he has to do is stand back and watch it grow. And someday he'll eat the fruits off of it. Because somebody did the work. Is that right? God did the work. They said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the works of God, that you believe on him whom the Father sent. God has finished the works from the foundation of the world. We are saved by the grace of God. But brethren, that life that is on the inside of the ground isn't just going to lay there. If that life lays there on the inside of the ground, or rather the seed, not the life, but if the seed remains there and there is nothing that comes up out of the earth, that seed is dead and that seed is rotten and that seed is not a seed of life. There is no life. The life is not in that seed. Because if there is life in that seed, after a while it's going to begin to expand. Isn't that right? After a while it's going to begin to push, bulge out a little bit. When the water begins to come down upon it and the sunshine begins to come down upon it, it's going to begin to swell up and bust forth out of the old shell. Is that right? And out of that earth is going to come forth a beautiful tree with lovely apples on it, because it is a production of life. It is a seed of life that has been put there to produce life that others may enjoy the fruits thereof. So then, whatever God has done for us, it is in putting the seed of life in us that it might grow into a great tree for God, and that things might be done in a great, wonderful way of producing fruit to those that are without, that need help, that need life. See, you are a tree unto life. Sometimes we get kind of selfish. We forget about others. We forget about the need out there. And we forget that God has planted us by the river of life, put our roots in the waters of life, that we may produce life to them that are without. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you realize that all of the world, all of the system of the world, the great men, the kings, the dignitaries, the governors, all of the powers of the earth, the celebrities, every one of them is dependent upon the church to produce life that they may continue in what they're doing. Did you know that? The wheat, the tare, all has to have the water to continue. It is the church that is in the earth, which is the salt of the earth. And if that is taken out, everything spoils, everything rots, everything decays. It's like the world is dependent upon the sun. And if the sun withdraws from shining, everything becomes cold and just a ball of ice. All life dies in the earth. All right, so then we have in our heart the seed of life. Now, if I was a charismatic and if I had the seed of life in my heart, as I do as a Christian, and if I was caught in that web, the first thing I would do, I would number myself with God, and I'd begin to perfect holiness in my life. The Bible said, perfecting holiness in your life. Let us go on unto perfection. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, God has perfected holiness in my life, and I have holiness because of what Christ did. I know that. I realize that. But that seed of holiness is going to spring out into a well of everlasting life. That holiness is good for your spirit. God has done that. But the Bible tells us to be holy in body and in spirit. Let us go on into perfection. What kind of perfection? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I love the word holiness. Do you like the word holiness? We should lift up the word holiness to the world. That's the greatest thing in the earth today. Instead of taking a back seat and sitting back, we should lift up holiness. I noticed among the charismatic people, so many people are getting into just a praise and a worship, which is wonderful. Like down in Central America, I was preaching there at a church, and they just worshiped God in such a great way. When I got up to preach, it was just the worship and the praise and the reception for us, it was just outstanding. But when I got up to preach, I said, folks, I perceive that you worship the Lord well. But I said, I'm interested in how you serve Him. God appreciates our worship. God appreciates our praise and all the praise of those orders of the world. God appreciates it. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. God appreciates it. But the thing that God is interested in is not our praise. God is interested in our service unto God. He didn't say, if you love me, you'll praise me. But He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do a service unto God. Put to the exchanges the life, the talent that God has placed on the inside of you. You know, with natural life, you are not limited to the ambitions of the world. Did you know that? With natural life, if you set out from the time you are a child, and you make a drive and an effort to be the president or a king, you can do it. You can do it. Like the man that first landed on the moon, stepped out on the moon. From the time he was a child, he had a dream that he did that. So you can do it. You're not limited in the things of the world. You can do it. But you got to put everything you got into it. See, and it's the same way with God. If I have the life of God on the inside of me, Brother Jim, I am not limited in the things of God. The Bible teaches all things are possible to them that believe. Isn't that wonderful? All things are possible to me. There is nothing that's impossible to me. Everything that I want to do, I can do it. Because I love the Lord, because I am a son of God, because I have the power of faith, I can do it. All because Jesus loved me. I am not limited in the things of God. I'm not limited in the ambitions of God. I'm not limited in the operational functioning of the things of the body of Christ. I can go right on in a great way, and I can become great in the sight of God. How many believe that's true? See, you don't have to be sick. Why should we be sick? Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean you don't ever get sick? The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous. It looks like the devil pecks on them more than anybody else. Did you know that? I hear people say, well, I don't ever get sick, you liar. You know better than that. Now, I don't mean that offensive, but you are a liar. You could not be the righteous of God because the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous. Somebody said, well, the devil just don't ever get a hold of me. But you got to look at it like this. It isn't always the devil. The Bible said God afflicts in righteousness. That's why many are the afflictions of the righteous, is because God afflicts in righteousness. A lot of times it's the bridle of God to get us under the control of God and to set us in the right way of life. It's God that does that. God creates the good and the evil and has His way in both. Works all things after the counsel of His own will. Like the days of Job, God gave permission for Satan to do that. The very minute that God said no more, Satan had to leave. Isn't that right? Can an evil come to a city? God said, and I have not seen it. So then how can we escape the powers of the devil? A lot of people say, well, what I've got to do, I've got to get strong enough to overcome the devil. No, that's not it at all. All you got to do is draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. See, the thing you want is strength from God. Be like Jesus. That's what you want to do. Walk in the ordinances of God. Love the Lord with all of your heart. You don't have any trouble with the devil. He'll get out every time he comes around. You start drawing nigh to God and start praying. Say, Jesus, help me. Put up your faith and he'll go just like that. So then we don't have to be sick. Though many afflictions come upon us, we don't have to be sick. All we've got to do is have faith in God. The Bible teaches that we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God. The world was framed by faith in God's Word. By faith in the Word of God, these things were framed. Think about that. Faith in the Word of God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, that was Christ that did that. That was God that did that. But listen, the Bible said it was the Word of God that did that. They'd say, well, that was God's Word back there. But what God is trying to tell us is it's the same Word of God, the same to a thousand generations, everybody, yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same Word of God. That ought to make us feel strong and powerful and great in the things of God. That makes me feel strong. The Bible said, be strong in the power of my might. When sickness assails, when turbulence comes, when problems come, I look to God and I say, Lord, the Word of God tells me this, and I believe it. As a result of that, I stay strong and sturdy and healthy in my body. I say, Lord, I believe. Like on this trip, the devil, he attacked my wife two or three times, and she was deathly sick. I mean deathly sick. We prayed for her, and the devil left her, and she got all right, and then wasn't but a few days, the devil hit her again, and looked like she'd die again. We prayed. I prayed that night, and I said, now, Betty, I said, I want you to believe. I said, I felt God break the yoke off of you and move the devil away. And I said, you're going to be all right. But that night she was mighty sick. But I said, tomorrow you'll be all right. And the next day she got up, she was all right. The devil had departed from her. But now let me tell you something. The Bible teaches that we must resist the devil. How can I resist the devil? By faith. How can I have faith? By drawing nigh to God. That's the only way I can have faith. Who is God? The Word. That means to draw nigh to the Word is to have confidence in what the Word has said, and my spirit will draw nigh to that Word. To have confidence in that Word. to draw nigh to that word, fellowship that word. Let that word be the ultimate of my guide and my reasoning and my desire and ambition in life. Just take the word, love the word. He that walks in the word of God, he that abideth in the word of God, let him ask what he will, I'll do it for him. Why wouldn't God do it for him? Because it's abiding in the word, believing the word, that causes it to happen. Whatever you do, he said, if you will believe in the word, you walk close to the word, abide in the word. Oh, I'll tell you what, I could just sing from my heart about the word of God. I love the word of God. I feed on the word of God. It's life. Somebody said, well, I don't like to think on it too much, Brother Pike, because it makes me sad and I've got so many other things that I like to do that kind of gives me a lift. I get back to the word of God occasionally and I have fellowship and a little solitude with God. But now I'll have to do something else. I don't have to do anything else. You don't go to the word and then fellowship the word and get away from the word to go get a little life and relaxation. This is the word of life. This is the fountain of life. If you believe in God, if you are a Christian, when you come to this word, that's when you get filled up with life. That's when you get enthused. That's when you start bubbling. Because this is what gives us the lift in life right here. Hallelujah. Praise God, drinking soda pop and eating hamburgers don't give me a lift in life. Going out buying new things and having frolics and doing the things of the world, that doesn't give me a lift in life. That's made to give the people of the devil a lift in life. God's word gives me a lift in life. If I'm fasting and haven't eaten anything in a number of days, I don't need a hamburger to give me a lift in life. God gives me a lift in life. If I'm praying and weary, I don't need something in the world to give me a lift of life. I call on the word of God and I say, Jesus, oh Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. And I begin to feel a stream that's opening up and a river that's running down through my soul. And the first news you know, I feel strong, strong, strong. All right, so he said, I will judge the world in righteousness. All of the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. See, I say again, how can we forget something that we have never known about? God is going to see, personally see, that everyone at one time or another will hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. At one time or another, every person must hear the word of the living God. Do you agree to that? Every person must hear it. And in hearing it, if they will believe, then something will happen in their life. Something grand and glorious will take place in their life. You know, it thrills my heart to think about the Word of God. Let me say this and then I'll try to close. A lot of times we say we are a Christian, but we're having all kinds of problems, all kinds of sicknesses. But we say we are a Christian. You say, well, Brother Pike, don't you believe that we are a Christian? I do believe that. Even if you are in afflictions of the greatest kind, like Job, there's no question as to your integrity with God. If devils and demons are troubling you, that doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. As a matter of fact, that could even the more mean that you are a son of God and that the devil is aggravating you. But one thing I do say, and that is we as Christian people, men and women alike, we as Christian people, we do not use the Word of God the way that God tells us to use it. We don't make any effort. We don't get up and put forth any effort. We just go through life saying, well, I'm a Christian. Lord, help me. But that isn't the way to do it. You don't just say, Lord, help me, and by that you are an overcomer. You don't do that. You take the word of God and you say, Lord, I've got a problem. You say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I claim victory over this thing. And I believe in God's word. I'm standing on God's word. Not just an intellectual, vocal expression, but out of your heart, believe it, claim it, stand for it. Stand up against the devil. Don't waver, don't look at him like you say, well, I've got cancer, I've got this, I've got everything, and I'm going to die. Don't do that. Say, I've got Jesus, and I'm going to live. That's an affliction. God is going to do away with it. And I guarantee you something will happen in your life. You stand up like that, whatever your problem is, something will straighten out. It reminds me of what Scotty said yesterday. Scotty said he had a visitor and it was close to his heart. I won't say who, but real close to his heart. But he said that he came over to his home and said he walked into his home. He hadn't seen this visitor in quite a while. And this visitor, very dear to his heart, walked into his home with beer. And Scotty said, no, 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 get out. He said it tore him up down here to do that because the visitor was so close to his heart. But see, that's the way it ought to be. You follow me? That's the way it ought to be. See, he used the resistance. He used the strength. And I perceive that when Scotty said it, he meant it. He wasn't playing. He really, from his heart, he meant get out. See, that's the way it is with the devil. Tell the devil to get out. Mean it when you tell the devil to get out. Say, this is God's territory and this is God's house. I believe in God and I believe God's with me and I'm a child of God. And if you don't believe that, you need to get born again. See, if you don't believe you're a child of God, you need to do something. Run for your life as quick as you can. But if you believe you're a child of God, just stand up. Oh, take a deep breath in God and say, oh, hallelujah. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a son of God. Nothing can't bother me. Nothing can't stop me. I'm a son of God. And faith will just swell up in your heart. You'll be so happy. All the old mud will get off of the water. And you won't have any trouble out of the devil. He'll run. He'll run. You love Jesus? All right, let's stand together. God bless you. You're such a wonderful audience. And I appreciate you so very much from my heart. I hope that the things that we say from time to time will be beneficial to you, that will help you and strengthen you, cause you to go on your way with God and be a greater Christian. Oh, I tell you what. The angel looked at Gideon and said, oh, thou mighty man of valor. And I really, from my heart, this is the truth if I've ever told it in my life. I come up here and in the sanctuary and go out there around Christians and I look at them and I think, my God, great and mighty people. I look at the people and I think, there's a man, there's a woman, mighty, great and powerful, strengthened to live forever, eternal gods in the earth, mighty, and the devil kicks them around place to place. Why, if they just one time stand up like the bully that runs up the hillside and shakes himself at you, you know, you just flex your muscles a little bit and he'll get on the road. That's right. You're a son of God. You're a son of God. Nothing can prevail before you all the days of your life. Nothing. The only time anything can prevail before you is you allow for it or give into it. There is nothing. There is no one. There is nothing. There is no circumstance. No sickness, no problem that can prevail before you all the days of your life because you are a son of daughter of God. Not only that, but the devil will whip us down and make us feel defeated because he says, you've done this and you've done that. You've sinned against God and you've staggered and you've stumbled. What little child doesn't? When a little child is learning to walk, what little child doesn't stumble and fall, have to pull back up? The Bible tells us that a good man falls 7 times, he'll still get back up. Because God will help him. In his 6th and in his 7th trouble, God will be with him. Isn't that right? So then, when we stagger and stumble, and the devil says, yeah, you're all dirty. Just look at him, humble your heart, and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you nor displease you. But God, the Bible tells me that they that are born of God, they keep themselves, and that wicked one toucheth him not. I've stumbled and I stagger, but devil, you ain't touched me one time. The blood covered every spot. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. You can go on and be strong in what he's done. Be a great Christian. And when somebody comes to upbraid you and tell you about your wrong, just as the old saying goes, while you're pointing one at me, says you got 4 at you. How many things have you done wrong? So then they won't have any place to throw stones. Just come on and let's do something for Jesus. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Let's sing that little chorus, we'll give the glory to Jesus. We haven't sang that in a long time. Can you sing it with me? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing of his love. We'll sing about his love, and we'll give all the glory to Jesus, and sing of his wonderful love. Can you sing it again? Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus.